Chapter 19. A Birthday at the Bryants. On Wednesday, Sandra worked with Peter and Jessica. She was thankful they had called. Her rental fees were due in just a little over a week, and so far she was still $700 short. Hopefully Peter will pay me today's wage on Friday, she thought, as he's done before. But will I get enough work this week to make another $600? Sandra remembered to pray during the few quiet moments she had for lunch. Dear God, she whispered, I'm so thankful for the people you've brought into my life, especially Peter and Jessica. I'm so thankful for all the promises you've made and how you've invited me to become involved with your plans for the future. But please help me find a way to pay my rent. You promised to provide for those who seek your kingdom and your righteousness, and I'm in desperate need of your help. And please, if it's possible, help me to meet up with my brother again, as soon as possible. Please don't let him cancel this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter's regular crew spent the remainder of the day mowing lawns and trimming grass around the gardens. Sandra's job was to do the watering. Since there hadn't been any rain for 2 weeks, the ground was parched and dry. When they dropped Sandra off at the manor around dinner time, Jessica said, Hey, Sandra, it's Peter's birthday tomorrow, and his mum is making a special meal. Would you like to work with us again tomorrow and join us for the party? I know it's our Bible study evening, but... A special meal? Another day of work? A chance to meet James's family and see if they are as confused as he says they are? There was no hesitation on Sandra's part. I'd love to, she exclaimed. Puffy white clouds began moving in the next morning, and the forecast called for heavy rain later on in the evening. Every member of the gardening crew was very hopeful it would rain. All the gardens needed a good soaking. Sandra and Jess spent a few hours deadheading endless peony plants and cutting back tall, wilted iris blooms. Then the entire crew drove out to Peter's parents' house for the afternoon to get the gardens ready for the wedding. The wedding was only 3 weeks away. Sandra marvelled at the Bryants' family home. It was a large, purple-trimmed log house, surrounded by tall pines swaying in the strong breeze. In an elevated position on a low cliff, their home overlooked the vast, white-capped ocean. The view was amazing. The house looked warm and inviting. No one was there when they arrived, so Peter and Derek left their music on in the van with the back hatch up, much to Sandra's delight. She quite enjoyed their music. All right, Jess, Peter said, surveying the grounds. How about you and Derek take charge of the rock gardens? Alan and I will figure out where to put the marquee and level the ground. And Sandra, maybe you could work on the stone pathway? Everyone grabbed the tools they needed and headed off to their locations, while Peter took a moment to show Sandra what he wanted her to do. It's really overgrown, he said, lifting up one of the flat slate rocks. He pointed to the long tubular grass roots that lay matted underneath. This is a tough job, he apologized, as Sandra's eyes followed the length of the stone pathway all the way down to the sandy beach. We need all these roots pulled out under every slab, and the whole path needs to be edged. But if you get started on the roots, Alan and I will come and help in a few hours. Sandra was quite happy to have an important job that she felt she could do. The work was somewhat hard and tedious, but the setting was stunning. As she worked steadily from stone to stone, she often looked up to enjoy the view. Billowing white clouds were still moving in from the ocean, but there hadn't yet been a drop of rain. Huge waves thundered noisily against the enormous rocks along the beach, and sometimes she could even feel the salty spray. The restless, slate-blue ocean filled the horizon as far as she could see. Seagulls squawked and glided on the fast-moving wind currents, soaring up and down all along the shore. "Soar like the seagulls," Sandra mused happily to herself as she tugged away at the grass roots. "I love God's creation. It's too precise and majestic to have ever just happened by chance. I'm happy to be living in it, and I love working in all these gorgeous places." She looked up for a moment to see Jessica and Derek arranging pots of plants in various places, discussing where each would look best. The wind knocked one pot over, rolling it along the ground, and Derek ran to get it. Sandra knew that Peter had great confidence in Jessica's sense of colour and always gave those decisions to her. Derek, with his ripped jeans and unshaven appearance, was the powerhouse in many of the operations, always ready to do the heaviest jobs and carry out Peter's exact instructions carefully. Alan was young and inexperienced, and usually not a part of the crew during the school week, but when he worked, he did his part well. As Sandra continued to move stones and pull roots, she watched Peter patiently explaining to the young teen where the tent was to sit and pointing out the uneven places that needed to be filled. A load of cedar shavings sat nearby, covered tightly with a tarp. Peter planned to spread those shavings over the grounds within the marquee. Peter was a good manager. There was no doubt that everyone highly respected his decisions, working from place to place with them. Sandra had been very impressed by some of the gardens Peter had designed. It seemed to her that he had a knack for transforming the flattest piece of ground into a naturalized work of art. "Is Peter unique in his family?" Sandra wondered. "Or are all three brothers just as special in their own way? He cares about James so much. Does James deserve that kind of affection? Does James care for anyone else in that same way?" After many wheelbarrows of soil had been dug, transported, dumped, and levelled into place, Peter and Alan joined Sandra on the pathway. Peter began to edge the grass on either side, while Alan helped Sandra pull roots. Soft strains of music floated across the lawn when the wind wasn't blowing it in the opposite direction, and Sandra suddenly recognised a song. It was the song that Jessica had told her about, the song she would always think of as Peter's prayer. Hearing Peter join in the chorus, Sandra looked up to see the sad, distant look on his face. "Do you like that song?" Peter asked, catching her eye. "I do," Sandra admitted, "and Jessica told me that you think of James when you hear it." "Yeah, I do," Peter nodded regretfully, stomping carefully with one foot on the edge trimmer. "You know, I once was blind," he admitted. "It took me over 10 years to accept that maybe I didn't have it all figured out like I thought I did, and that maybe the things my friends were telling me were worth investigation. So I completely understand how James feels. I felt the same way. All I can do is pray that God will work in James's life like he did for me. Only God can open the eyes of the blind." "I feel for you, both," Sandra said, unsure of what to say. Peter sighed. "You know, Sandra," he said thoughtfully, "in all honesty, I think everyone needs to experience an impossible situation in their life. It's the only way we learn to have faith." Sandra nodded, but she didn't respond. "He's thankful for this pain," she marvelled. "Will I ever learn to think like Peter and Jess? They're on such a different level than I am." Picking up the little tufts of grass, Peter threw them into the wheelbarrow. "There are a lot of good songs on that CD," he said. "I have an extra copy if you want it." "That would be wonderful," Sandra smiled. Around 4 o'clock, Andrew's children jumped off the school bus and came running over to greet their uncle and wish him a happy birthday. Peter gratefully accepted hugs and kisses from his teenage nieces and lanky twin nephews. He picked up the youngest child to spin her around. She shrieked with delight. The next time Sandra looked up, she saw that the twins were carting off the wheelbarrow of grass to the compost bin. The youngest girl was collecting the plastic pots that were scattered all over the lawn, and the teenagers were watering the plants that Jessica had put into the ground. "They'll all probably be part of the landscaping crew in a few years," she thought with a smile. 10 minutes later, Andrew, Peter's brother, arrived home from university, and then his wife and parents drove in together. Of course, they all greeted Peter right away with hearty birthday congratulations. Before going inside, Andrew and his wife strolled over to where Sandra was working. They introduced themselves cordially, and Sandra took off her gloves to shake hands, glad to make their acquaintance. Andrew was very much like the picture she'd often viewed in James's apartment, only somewhat greyer and a lot stockier. His wife Lisa was a pleasant-looking woman, as round as her husband, with short brown hair and happy blue eyes. After trading pleasantries, Andrew said, "So I hear you're working for both my brothers, a gardener for Peter and a housekeeper for James." With a twinkle in his eye, he asked, "Which one is easier to work for?" "Andrew," Lisa laughed, "don't ask her a question like that." Smiling at Sandra, she said, "Just be glad you don't work for Andrew. He never stops." But Andrew wasn't done teasing. "Come on," he prodded merrily. "My guess is that you come home from gardening exhausted, but James's place must be so clean it's hard to find enough to do." Sandra laughed. "I love working for both," she smiled. "James also pays me to cook, and I love cooking. Peter's work is all outside in beautiful gardens, so I'm perfectly content." Andrew laughed. "You must be very good at what you do to meet James's high standards," Lisa replied. Sandra smiled at the compliment. "He's been good to me," she said sincerely. "He's been good to us, too," Andrew nodded. "If it wasn't for James, I wouldn't be back at university." "James has been very generous," Andrew's wife agreed earnestly, taking her husband's arm. She smiled up at him. "All the Bryants have hearts of gold." Andrew laughed and gave Lisa a kiss on the cheek. "Well, we'd better help get the birthday dinner ready," he said, turning to leave. "Great job on the pathway," he encouraged Sandra. As Sandra went back to weeding the pathway, she couldn't stop thinking about what Andrew and Lisa had just said. James has helped them out, she pondered. It must have been a generous contribution if it has made the difference between Andrew returning to university or not. How surprising. James seems so disappointed that Andrew resigned and needed to go back to school, and yet he's supporting him. Maybe James does care about his brothers after all, she considered. Maybe he does have a heart of gold. Maybe I've misunderstood. When it was time to wash up and go in for dinner, Sandra gazed eagerly around the thick wooden walls of the log home. The hallway entrance opened up on one side to a cosy living room area with the tallest stone fireplace Sandra had ever seen. Plenty of ocean view windows flooded the house with light. An open pine staircase led to the lofts above. On the other side of the hallway, a large multicoloured Tiffany lamp hung above a long oak table in the kitchen. This is a lovely home, Sandra thought to herself. It feels so warm and inviting. James, you're so lucky. Jessica showed her to the bathroom, where Sandra could clean up and change for the party. In the small cedar-lined room, there was a spicy wooden aroma. Looking up, Sandra noticed a pretty painting of a white peony. She leaned closer to read the verse that was inscribed below the petals. It said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." As Sandra scrubbed all the dirt from her hands and arms, she thought about the verse on the wall. It reminded her of the conversation she'd had with Jessica walking along the boardwalk. "That's how Jess soars above all her worries," Sandra considered. "She's focused on what is to come, not the here and now. I need that perspective." Changing out of her work clothes, Sandra pulled on the dress she had brought with her, a soft, comfortable denim dress. Taking out a straightener from her bag, she fixed her flyaway hair. When Sandra entered the kitchen, Jessica introduced her to Mr. and Mrs. Bryant and all the children. James's parents were getting on in years, but still able to get around without much difficulty. Sadie and Sue were in their early teens, and the oldest of Andrew and Lisa's five. Jake and Zach, the twins, had just turned 10. With their brown eyes, blonde crew cuts, and mischievous smiles, they both looked like miniature Peters. Sandra was sure she would never be able to tell them apart. Little Esther was the youngest, very sweet, slightly plump, and with sparkling eyes like her mum. Under a brightly coloured Tiffany lamp, Sandra took a place at the long oak table with all the others. Looking around, she marvelled that 13 people could fit so comfortably together. Then she noticed one place setting in front of an empty chair. "Is it for James?" she wondered. There was no talk of waiting for him. Gazing sadly at the empty chair, Sandra noticed that Mrs. Bryant, who was sitting beside her, was looking in the same direction. Mrs. Bryant's white hair framed a rather lined but still attractive face. Mr. Bryant was tall and stocky with short grey hair and eyes that twinkled with amusement. "Who does James favour?" Sandra wondered, studying his parents carefully as they chatted with their family. "He doesn't really look like either," she decided. Discreetly she observed Mrs. Bryant again. "Maybe he has his mother's kind brown eyes," she decided. "Both James and Peter have those eyes, and perhaps James has her slender build as well." Regardless of the empty bowl and chair, there was a festive mood that evening with a clear focus on Peter and Jess. After Andrew gave thanks to God for the meal, Sandra watched everything with James's words echoing in the back of her mind. However, if there was confusion or regret due to Andrew's career change and Peter's crazy ideas, Sandra didn't see the evidence. The love and the bantering that went on between them all brought warmth to her heart. "Oh, James," she thought sadly, "how can you miss out on all this? If only you had come. I wish you were here." Clam chowder was one of the many wonderful items on the menu, and Sandra was pleased to discover it was a family favourite. Sadly, she noticed that the big crock pot, which was full of a rich cream soup, was next to a tiny one, which was never served at all. "I bet that little crock pot has a heart smart recipe in it," she thought, "made just for James." The birthday cake was brought in once the plates had been cleared away. 30 flaming candles bordered the outside, and a lonesome male figurine stood in the middle. "It's the last birthday you'll have as a bachelor," Peter's mum teased merrily, setting the cake down in front of him. Jessica draped herself around Peter's shoulders as he leaned forward to blow out the candles. "Save one for me," she begged. After a quick blow, Peter left 5 burning brightly. "5?" Jess exclaimed teasingly with her cheek against his. "Are there that many special flames in your life?" Laughing, Peter blew again carefully, and this time all appeared to be extinguished. But after a flicker, one little flame recovered. "There you go," he told her, looking up with devotion. One flame I'll never, ever blow out. Jessica kissed Peter on the cheek, and he kissed her in return. Hey now, Andrew called out with feigned disapproval. None of that till the wedding. Kids, cover your eyes. Dad, Andrew's eldest daughter retorted with a laugh. It's not like we haven't seen anyone kiss before. As Peter cut the cake and Jess served it out, a tall, lean figure sauntered quietly into the kitchen. Uncle James, a happy voice rang out. Anything left for one overworked and underfed man? You came, Mrs. Bryant exclaimed happily as Jake left the table and hurled himself towards his uncle. Zach came running over as well to give him a hug. I thought you had to work till 9. I got off early, James replied, returning his nephew's embraces. Hey, guys, he laughed. Look what I have. The two nephews stood back in eager anticipation as James searched in his pockets. At last he produced a neon-coloured hockey puck. Ah, cool, Zach said. Can we play tonight? It might be kind of late tonight, James replied reluctantly, but I'm coming over this weekend and we can have a shootout. Yeah, they both cheered. Okay, sit up now, guys, Andrew called out. Let Uncle James have something to eat. Embracing his mum, James turned to find his place at the table. Suddenly he noticed Sandra. A look of astonishment came over his face. Jess invited me, Sandra tried to mouth across the room, pointing to Jessica at the same time. James nodded to show he understood, but he still looked surprised. Hi, James, Peter spoke up quietly as his brother took his seat near the twins. I was hoping we'd see you today. Gardens look good, James mumbled, avoiding Peter's eyes. I can't believe how glad I am to see him, Sandra thought, as James unfolded the cloth napkin that had been beside his plate. I feel like I want to run over and give him a big hug just like his nephews did. How silly. Why am I feeling like this? She considered the matter as she watched James's mother scoop chowder from the mini crock pot and set it down beside him. Just for you, dear, Mrs. Bryant said with a smile. Am I falling? She asked herself incredulously. No, I don't think so. James is a good guy to have as a friend, but I don't think I'm attracted to him, not in that way. But I do like looking after him, and I care about him. A lot. Sandra noticed that James took a moment to pray before delving into the chowder. That's interesting, she thought. He didn't give thanks to God when we ate dinner together. Everyone began asking James how he was doing, whether he still liked his new job, and where he had found the glow-in-the-dark hockey puck. Only Peter sat back silently, listening intently but not asking any questions. Hey, look at the sunset, Sadie called out. Everyone turned to look out the large glass windows that framed the ocean. The grey clouds that had been rolling in all day were streaked with soft pink highlights and pale purple shadows. Looking out the other windows towards the west, Sandra could see that the whole sky was ablaze with colour. Andrew grabbed his camera, and he and Lisa ran out with their children. Come on, Peter, Jess said. Let's take a quick look. Sandra felt a little awkward remaining behind with only James and his parents, but she wasn't finished her cake. So is the convention still on? Mr. Bryant asked his son after the others had left. Dad, of course it is, James replied curtly. And are they still putting pressure on you to go? His mother asked. James looked up uncomfortably. Mum, I want to go to the convention, he said. It isn't a holiday. We'll be meeting with lots of representatives that we do business with. If I don't go, I'll be completely out of the loop. We just find it hard to believe you'd missed your brother's wedding, Mr. Bryant explained gently, as his wife rose from the table to clear the dessert dishes. James said nothing in reply, and Sandra could feel the tension rising. Feeling uncomfortable, she took the last mouthful of cake and stood up to help. As Sandra helped load the dishwasher, the silence in the kitchen was almost unbearable. She was so thankful when Peter and Jess came back in. Wow, they'll get some good pictures from that sky, Peter exclaimed as he sat back down in his chair. I've never seen it so red. Let's order a sunset like that for our wedding, Jessica said with a laugh, picking up a basket of bread and setting it down closer to James. If only we could, Peter replied. James savoured his second bowl of chowder and another slice of bread as Jessica helped Mrs. Bryant and Sandra load the dishwasher. The gardens do look fantastic, Pete, Mr. Bryant said. You and your crew can sure turn an overgrown jungle into a posh resort. Peter laughed quietly. Glad you're happy with it, Dad. So when are we setting up the marquee? I'll be picking it up the day before we get married. So in about 2 weeks from now, his father replied. From there, the conversation seemed to wane. For a few minutes, no one spoke. There was just the clatter of dishes going into the dishwasher, the shuffling of feet walking back and forth, and James's spoon clinking against his bowl. "Please, someone speak," Sandra thought, but she couldn't think of anything to say. What had been such a happy, fun-filled place only a few minutes before was now heavy with uneasiness. Looking over at James, Sandra caught his eye. He pointed down at the bowl and mouthed the words, "Almost as good as yours." Sandra smiled. James's compliments were healing balm to her lonely heart. The strange silence in the family continued. It made Sandra sad to think that James's presence had changed the merry mood. "He needs a friend," she thought. "It must be hard for him to come here when he's the odd man out." At last Peter spoke up. "Say, James," he began awkwardly, "how's the chowder? Mum said she made you the healthy version." James didn't look at his brother, but he did reply. "It's great. I'm getting used to the healthy version of everything. Sandra's been leaving me a meal once a week, and I tell you, it's like going to the best restaurant in town." "Really?" Mrs. Bryant said, looking over with surprise at Sandra, who blushed bright red. "That's awfully nice of you, dear," she remarked. Peter's question eased some of the tension. James had a question for him. With his eyes focused on the bowl of chowder in front of him, he asked, "I hear that you've lost your house, the one you had an offer on." Peter nodded with a puzzled look of surprise. "He wonders how James knows about this," Sandra thought to herself. "I hope it was all right for me to tell." "You're not going to just let those guys off the hook that easily, are you? How do you know they aren't just making things sound worse than they are?" Without waiting for an answer, James pressed his case. "They have all your heavy machinery, an established clientele base, and Jono took over your house and your sports car for next to nothing. Regardless of whether or not they're making money, they need to compensate you for all you've put into it. You've done enough for them already." "They're my friends," Peter tried to explain hesitantly. "They've paid me a considerable amount over the last year, and I..." "But, Pete, you're getting married," James persisted. "Look, I know a really good lawyer that I deal with all the time. If I ask him, he'll work things out for you in a fair way for both sides." "I really appreciate your concern," Peter told him earnestly, "but Jess and I have talked this through, and we're content to rent something until the business grows here." With his arms folded and a studious look on his face, James pondered his brother's words. "I just hope they're not taking advantage of you," he said kindly. Peter was quiet for a moment or two, resting his chin on his hands. Jessica had slowly made her way back into the chair beside him. She slipped her arm through his. "It's like this, James," Peter explained quietly, looking straight at his brother. "I've preached Christ to them, forgiveness and love. I want them to find the hope that I have and realize that money and possessions don't even begin to compare with eternal life in God's kingdom. I've got to live what I preach." James looked over at Jessica. "And you're okay with that?" he asked. "Yes," she replied gently. "I think Peter is doing the right thing. We'll be okay." With a perturbed look on his face, James sat back in his chair. Sandra's heart went out to him. She wished there was some way she could give him a little friendly support. James seemed so alone in the midst of his family. "It's a difficult issue," she thought, "and I'm not sure who's right and who's wrong. But I know that James only spoke up because he cares. He cares about Peter and Jess. He does care about his family. I'm so proud he came tonight and that he actually tried to offer some assistance. Everyone needs to be thankful for that." However, silence hovered over the table. There wasn't any immediate appreciation for James' gallant attempt to reach out. Empathy overwhelmed Sandra's heart. She wished she could catch James's eye and give him a smile, but he wasn't looking over. Somehow she had to let him know how she felt. Seeing that he had finished eating, she decided to walk over and collect his dishes. Reaching from behind to take his bowl with one hand, she gently squeezed his shoulder with the other. When James looked up, she smiled down kindly. James held her gaze for a second, and then Sandra noticed that James's mother was looking over. Quietly, she left his side and brought the dishes to the sink. Andrew and his troops came rushing in. "We've got the most amazing pictures," Esther shouted. "Have a look, Nana." From that moment on, until all the dishes were cleaned and put away, everyone had a turn viewing the gorgeous pictures on the camera. The western sky had been ablaze with colour. "We're going to put them on Facebook," Sadie, the oldest girl, declared. "Maybe we'll even enter them into that contest." "We'll win for sure," little Esther chipped in. Peter stood up. "Well, Mum, that was a truly magnificent dinner. Makes reaching a new decade not quite so painful. But I'd better take Jess and Sandra home. They've worked hard the last 2 days." "I'll take Sandra home. James offered quickly, rising from his chair. "We're both at the manor." Sandra noticed an amused glance pass between Mr. and Mrs. Bryant. "Don't get too excited," she felt like saying. "I don't think this is anything more than friends." James walked over to hug his parents and gave his mum and dad a kiss goodbye. His nephews crowded around. "We'll look after the puck for you, Uncle James," Zach assured him. "Don't forget about Saturday." "I'll meet you in the park at 10," James promised. "Can we go fishing afterwards?" Jake begged. "Guys, guys," Andrew laughed. "One thing at a time. Uncle James took you fishing last weekend, remember?" "Keep practicing your shots," James encouraged the boys. "I want to get a workout in that net." Esther came skipping over to hug both James and Sandra, while Sadie and Sue approached in a more dignified manner, but there were hugs all around. "Thanks, Mum. That was a delicious meal," James stated appreciatively, opening the door for Sandra. "Just 1 minute, Sandra," Jessica said, as though she had just remembered something really important. Running quickly over to where her purse lay by the door, Jessica reached in and took out a fancy lilac-coloured envelope. She handed it to Sandra. "I hope you can come," she said, smiling brightly. "What could this be?" Sandra thought to herself absent-mindedly as she took the envelope. "Another invitation?" Thanking everyone for the meal, she followed James out of the door.